The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Tragedy on top of tragedy. That's today's Gospel text. What are we to make of tragedies? Both man-made and accidental. Is there a difference between a man gunning down dozens of people and an entire state flooded or an entire city on fire? St. Luke tells us that some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Roman soldiers burst into the holy place of the temple to cut down worshipers as they offered a sacrifice. The only thing that is as horrific is uniformed troops bursting through our doors and gunning us down as we receive the Holy Supper, mingling our blood with the holy blood of Christ. It's an abomination. It is a despicable thing. And it was the conversation of the day. How could this happen? In the most holy place, too, those Galileans must have been awful and horrible people for that to happen to them there. I'm sure glad I'm not like them. Jesus turns the conversation around. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The same fate as them is in store for you, lest you repent, Jesus says. Cut down at worship? Should have repented. Crushed by a falling building? Should have repented. This is the gospel of the Lord? This is the good news that Jesus comes to bring? St. Luke's words are a reminder that God Almighty will certainly bring judgment upon His creation, that the end of all creation is upon us, that we do indeed live in the end of times. Each and every tragedy in our world is a reminder that God the Father will carry out the final judgment on the last day. No one is exempt from the wrath of God. No one can escape the death of the body. We realize that that September morning as towers fell before our eyes as well. In the blink of an eye, mass death and utter destruction was no longer a foreign idea, something that happened to those people over there, but something that literally exploded into our own lives. That September morning was a microscopic glimpse of the end of days. And we came to know that, yes, even we are vulnerable to destruction. Even we may die in horrible ways. But we'd rather not think that way, though. After all, aren't we God's chosen people? Not Americans, but the baptized of God. Aren't we to be treated better? Aren't we exempt in some way from the tragedies that come? Shouldn't we, the baptized and holy children of God, expect some sort of preferential treatment in this life? Well, how does our Lord answer? Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Our Lord wants you to remember from where your life comes, from whom you live and move and have your very being. People naturally ask questions when tragedy strikes. Why did God allow this to happen? What did my friend do to deserve this? If only that little girl had stayed away from the river, this wouldn't have happened. You've all heard that before, haven't you? People in your lives, and maybe you yourselves, have asked these things. Why? People want to know the unknowable, even when we aren't given to know. The truth is, when Adam decided along with Eve to spurn their Creator and to eat of the forbidden fruit, they separated themselves from God the Father. They cut themselves off from the Almighty and were now adrift in the world. And that harmonious relationship between God and man was destroyed. And we've dealt with the horrible consequences of this sin-ravaged world ever since. Is all the flooding we've seen and is sure to come again because we're bad people? Could all of that have been avoided if people only did something differently? What about the fire last fall or the one from the year before? What could you have done to stop it? What did you do to cause these tragedies to fall upon yourselves? How could you have avoided them? Well, that's not the right question, though, is it? That's not where you should put your focus. Instead, listen to what your Lord Jesus says. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Because your Lord Jesus doesn't see the disease as the issue. He doesn't see the tragedy as the issue. He doesn't even see death as the issue. Certainly, he abhors what these things have done to his people, to all of his creation, but those things are just the symptoms. For our Lord Christ, repentance is the issue. I've said it to certain folks before, you are not the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around you. So sitting in the corner and crying, woe is me, puts the focus in the wrong place. Because we must own our sin. Christ Jesus says so. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so we gather here every Sunday and we confess our sins together. Every Sunday, you are absolved of your sin and you receive the gift of God's forgiveness in multiple ways. In His Word, in absolution, in the Holy Supper. But our Lord Jesus puts it all into perspective. There is no grading on the curve when it comes to sin in God's eyes. Everyone deserves death because of sin. St. Paul writes, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are all doomed because of sin. We all deserve death because of it. There's no escaping it. What matters is how we approach the certainty of our mortality. What matters is from where you draw your strength and your reason for living. Do you see your Lord God Almighty as the very source of life and forgiveness, or do you just shove him aside in your failure to repent? And that's why Jesus reminds the people in Jerusalem of those who die in that random accident, what the insurance adjuster would certainly call an act of God. And that's why he so strongly reminds them that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Because repentance removes your work from the equation. Repentance removes your attempts to justify yourselves. Repentance deflates and it destroys your rebellion. It dashes you against the foot of Christ's bloody cross and bathes you in his shed blood. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's an awful humbling thing to say, yet this is what your Lord calls you to do. And it's for that reason that he sets aside his majesty and he sets aside his glory. He sets aside his might and his power to take on your flesh, to humble himself to the point of death on his cross, to keep you from suffering eternal separation from God your Father. And in his resurrection to life again, he shows you your future, a life of glory with him for all of eternity. The glory of the resurrection and the life everlasting in the new heavens and the new earth. The life of the world to come. A life in which tragedy isn't even a distant memory, but entirely non-existent. And so we pray that he comes soon to gather us into his presence. Yet we know that day is hidden in the Father. Until that day, we will have reminders of the sinful world all around us, tragedy and disease and suffering and untimely death. And that's why we run to our crucified and risen Lord for comfort and for forgiveness. This is why he pours out that forgiveness in so many ways. In his words of absolution, in the words of Holy Scripture, in the waters of holy baptism, and into our very mouths, with his very body and blood, the medicine of immortality. So yes, your Lord Jesus speaks the sweetest words of comfort today to you. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So even when you are afraid to repent of your sin, your Lord Jesus stands ever ready to forgive you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.